Testing, testing.
Sound check. A little sound check.
Oh, testing. 1, 2, 3. I'm with the Dolly Wall. Hello.
You have to speak louder than that.
But you
don't
have
to lean in like that. Be comfortable. You're not quiet.
No, I'm not.
No, why are you going to be like,
usually, I know.
You know, that's like.
Is it good?
I don't know. It's still doing the sound test.
Hello? Let's see. I was supposed to do.
Hello? Come on, you're a professional. You don't know how to do a sound test?
No, I didn't know it was anything other than just talking.
Yeah.
That's what I usually do.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
So we're having a hard time with that. Nervous?
No.
Really?
No. Should I be?
Nervous. No.
No, that's just... Do I?
Hello,
what does nervous look like?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Comedy Death Star, the podcast that digs into the dark side of comedy. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. My guest this week is Amrita Dhaliwal. Pretty good, right? Not perfect, but, you know. Comedian, clown, actor, idiot, and creator of things that go bump in the night. I want to hear more about that.
Did I write that?
I wrote that.
Oh.
It's my show. I write these things.
That's great.
We're going to hear more about all that in a moment. But first, a message from our corporate overlords. Comedy Death Star is a production. Comedy Death Star is a production of Actors Comedy Studio and ACSDigital.tv. I'm Denzel Myers. My guest today is Amrita Dhaliwal. That was better or the same?
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've been practicing.
Yeah.
Does anybody ever get it right? Like, that's not related to you?
Yes, really? They do, yes. I'm always like, wow, good job.
Like, non-Indian people.
Yes. Well, which is most of this town, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I understand. But, yeah.
So eventually.
Somebody's eventually going to get it right.
Statistically speaking.
And it's on your resume, you say, here's how to pronounce my name.
Yeah, I do.
Because people get it completely wrong.
Yeah.
I've. What happens when you go to Starbucks? Do you get like Karen?
Oh, I just do Amy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Because Denzel, I mean, you know, there's no way.
You could emphasize the second syllable, Denzel, and then everyone would get it.
I know. I think, but I'm not sure because it was pre-internet and now you can't find anything that when that guy was first on the scene, that he said his name Denzel. And over time it's gotten changed to Denzel. I'm not certain.
We should reach out to him and find out.
So I'm going to find out. Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Came in here in a little room with no one else, just us, and you barely even know me.
That's right. I don't know you at all, really.
Oh, come on. We met at a baby shower.
Baby shower. We hung out.
Yeah.
We chatted it up.
Yeah.
Very sharp style. That's the first thing that struck me. Yes, about myself, of course, but you too.
About me.
Yeah, I was like, this guy's got style.
What was I wearing?
A hat. And a tie of some sort, many layers, similar to what you have on now. Actually, now I'm thinking that you may not have a style as much as an outfit.
I have one outfit.
One outfit.
Just one.
That you wear all the time.
All the time. And the best part is that it's reversible. When it gets a little dirty, I can turn it all inside out.
Oh.
The sweater goes on the inside, and then the shirt, and then the tie, and then the undershirt.
How very eco-green of you.
It's very, yeah. But then I have to check what boxers I'm wearing. It's very complicated. You're from Chicago.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm partially Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. I spent
that explains the
formative
hair.
Years. Right? My hair
you
is
got Dallas
giant.
Hair. Jealous, Dallas
hair. I do love, like, I have full confidence that as an old lady, I'll wear too much perfume. My hair will be giant. And I will wear, like, enough accessories to be, like, audible at all times.
You mean like jingle jangly?
Yeah, exactly. Jingle.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going.
You have relatives like that that make noise when they come out of the room?
Yeah. So junior high and high school in Dallas. And then I'm basically a middle of the country suburbs kid.
Okay.
Like I grew up outside Chicago, outside Dallas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're all the same.
My grandfather used to say, chicken in the car can't go. That's how you spell Chicago.
Oh.
You ever hear that?
No.
It's old.
I've never heard of that.
Really?
Yeah, and we do a whole thing on Chicago history.
I looked it up even just to make sure I got it right.
Just for this podcast.
the googly.
I'm like, well, you did a lot of research.
You could Google chicken in the car can't go. That's how you spell Chicago. You
know. That's true.
Right? It sounds vaudevillian.
Although it is very vaudevillian.
Yeah.
You know, the first film studio was SNA Studios, and that was in Chicago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when silent film was at its peak. It was, the hub of it was Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, there's actually this woman that's trying to resurrect SNA Studios, fundraising to bring them
Is the building still there?
The building's still there. Wow. It's in Uptown, I believe, near the Green Mill, which is an old speakeasy type bar that not like even a tile has been touched since the era of Al Capone.
Or cleaned.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. all right, let's stop flamming around because I got some serious questions.
Yeah, let's get
Very
to it.
Very serious questions.
Let's go.
First of all, you do a bunch of improv, acting, clowning,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to ask some questions of your pen pal.
Oh.
Pen pal character.
Okay.
You have a character that pen pals. Do you want to say anything about that before I ask some questions?
No,
let's not say anything.
Yeah.
Do you do anything when you want to get into a character? Do you have any kind of process, any ritual, any kind of things that help you click over?
Well, I think there's like two things. For me, I'm a big like devising muscle. So I work with my body, with the different tools I have available to me to find the character or the play. And so you get in the rehearsal room and you do that, or in an ensemble. And then once you find it, you finesse it. Maybe you put it up in front of an audience. You find out what works, what doesn't. You watch yourself. Hopefully you have an outside eye kind of helping to guide you and shape you a bit that you trust. Then you have it. Then I do think you have it. You're a pro. You just step into it.
So
yeah.
You just click in. You know where it is. You know how it feels in your body.
I do always, if I'm going on stage or any kind of work, I do a physical warm-up always.
Like, people have heard the actors going beep, 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 boo, 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 making sounds.
Yeah, vocal and physical, 100%.
All right.
Yeah.
First, for anybody who's not quite sure, what is a pen pal?
A pen pal is someone that exchanges letters back and forth with another individual that is usually over a large distance.
Far
away.
And how did you first get interested in being a pen pal?
In all seriousness, Amrita, I have been writing...
No, not you.
Me, the pen pal person?
No, your pen pal, your character, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would like to meet her because I've seen her in these videos, and then I would like to...
Okay, well...
She's cute.
She's very nice.
She's very nice.
She takes care of herself and everyone around her.
Yeah.
I guess writing letters has always been a source of joy and connecting with others. And there's a way in which when we meet people face-to-face... It's just sometimes, I don't know, a lot of pretending. And so when you write a letter, you get to a more honest side, you know?
You get to really be yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
And I have some other questions, but is there a way that our listeners could get involved in this activity of being or having a pen pal?
Oh, sure. They could just write me. I would love to be their pen pal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can write me a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say... What would you like to know?
That's the most exciting part. Yeah. When you start the pen pal relationship, there's that, oh my God, what am I going to say? And you just find out. You put the pen to the paper and words will fall on it.
So
and then you seal it up and you send it.
Discovery.
33501 half Rowena. 90027.
33015 and a half.
Yeah.
Rowena.
Send me a letter.
And you want to send the zip code again?
90027.
Pen pal, dear pen pal lady. How should they address it? Pen pal lady.
Yes.
Pen pal.
Yes.
That's how you address all your letters to pen pal.
Mm-hmm.
Your pen pal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've never had more than one pen pal, so this will be exciting.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Well, would you recommend this pen pal thing to people? I mean, how was it for you?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I would. I absolutely. It is the closest I've ever felt to God.
To God?
Mm. Yeah.
And you still in touch with your pen pals? Is it still happening?
Well, Ted and I...
Yeah, Ted and you.
No, not so much.
Not Ted.
That's okay. I'm fine with it, though.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard from him recently?
No, have you heard from him?
I have not heard from Ted. No.
Why'd you ask that?
Well,
Has he said something? It's okay. You can tell me.
I sent him a letter.
You are pen paling with him?
Well... You know, sometimes.
Oh.
And he sent me back a very short note.
Oh, what did it say?
It was very polite, but he said that because he knew that you and I were friends.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that you and he were taking some kind of a break. He wasn't clear about that.
Oh, he used the word break.
He felt a little uncomfortable continuing to be pen pals with me, knowing that I'm friends with you and that you, so it was like this triangle, and he just wanted to make it simple. So he and I are on a break.
Oh gosh, poor Ted. I understand that.
Yeah.
It's so nice that he wrote you back, though.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
I got the feeling that he wrote to me when his wife was out of the house.
Oh.
I had just a feeling that I got.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Now, the only other feeling, the only other question I had about this is, I've heard some of my friends talk sometime about this thing about the emotional affair that, you know, their boyfriend or girlfriend, they say, is kind of cheating on them, not physically, but just emotionally with another person. And I guess I'm curious to know if you have any thoughts on this subject. Is it a real thing to you, the emotional affair, or is it just fluffery?
Oh, gosh. No, it's a real thing. I think when you exchange with each other on that level, there's real love there. Yeah.
And real intimacy.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what I believe. That's the only time of love I've really had.
My last question here, when you write to your pen pal, do you really use a pen, or do you can you use a pencil?
Oh, that's a great question. You can use any kind of utensil that you feel most connected with. For me personally, I like to use inkjet pens because they glide in the paper really nicely. And a little bit of an embossed paper is kind of fun.
Ooh, embossed paper.
Yeah.
It's a little ridgy.
Yeah, a little ridgy.
Some texture.
Yeah, the words come off the page in a more fun way. So that's what I would do.
It's interesting. I heard you say, you didn't say implement, you said utensil.
Yes.
And when
it's
you
a
say
tool.
Utensil, I immediately go to flatware, you know.
Ah, dish, forks.
Forks and spoons and knives and maybe even like a lobster cracker or something like that. But yeah, that was just an interesting word. Do you ever use other things that are not for writing, intended, you know, like weren't designed for writing? Like maybe a pen and blood or, I don't know. You use like a chopstick and some chocolate sauce.
Well, I did once go to a reservation, and they carved up a piece of bark, and on the inside of the bark was lead. It was a pencil.
Maybe that's where they originally came from, the reservation. I'm glad we uncovered that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have a, well, I have another question. All right. Let's go on. Let's go on. We I have a section of the show every episode where I take reader questions. People write in with questions, and then, you know, I want to, so, because I have fans, and you're famous, so. I have a question here from a Ms., I think it's Mrs., actually, Mrs. Helen Frenipitti. Frenipitti. Mrs. Helen Frenipitti from Elliott Lake, Ontario.
Oh.
And she has a question. She says, could you please tell me a little about the controversy surrounding the hashtag Which Lives Matter?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's confusing because is it Which Lives Matter or Which Lives Matter?
Exactly.
Exactly. Which are we talking about? Which Lives Matter or Which Lives Matter? And which you're talking about really designates what you're trying to say, which is which lives matter or which lives matter. It's problematic on both levels.
Yeah. And what about the when?
The when?
Yeah.
The when?
The when.
When which lives matter?
When, when which lives matter? Because, I mean, we could be talking about...
The when is what's getting us in trouble.
The when is what's...
Exactly.
It's changing.
It's changing.
Yeah.
The when which lives matter, they matter all the time. But then when you're saying when which lives matter, then we're getting into trouble.
How long do we have to wait?
It's a mess, honestly. This is why we need stronger marketing and PR people in back of everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
So, which lives matter? Yeah, it's a conundrum. Have you gotten any help with this? I mean, it seems like an important issue. The hashtag has been trending. I'm not sure, you know, is the community stepping up to help sort this out?
Well, let me tell you. Chevrolet went into Mexico, and they launched a very popular car that had done well in the United States, the Nova.
Yes.
As in the supernova.
Yes.
That's where they shorten the name, a Nova, right?
Yeah, supernova.
Well, in Spanish, Nova is doesn't go.
Yeah, doesn't go anywhere.
Doesn't go anymore. How ridiculous that you would go and have the audacity to try to sell something to another group of people without even thinking about what you're saying.
Or asking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I'm no Chevrolet.
No.
I made a simple mistake. You know? We all make mistakes.
We all do.
Which lives matter? Which lives matter? It's confusing because it's which are we talking about? This which, that which, either which, I understand. And I have hope that we can get behind the right which.
Ipswich, Sandwich.
Exactly.
Yeah, it happens. All right, we're going to we'll keep our eyes on the trending.
Thank you.
Of which lives, hashtag which lives matter.
Thank you.
And we'll hope some of that gets sorted out. Now, here's another very serious question because I need to know, and I know that people in the our listening audience would also like to know. You have studied some clown on your resume. It says idiot.
Yeah. This is me, Amrita.
Buffon.
Okay, yes.
Okay, this is you, Amrita.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about the differences for novices between the three. If there are different, it could be sets and subsets, clown, idiot, buffon.
Oi.
Do they?
Well, yeah. Here's. Okay, so that's like a big, that's a, I could go like for a really long time. For simplicity's sake.
Simplicity's sake.
Like there aren't like big institutions, there aren't big like gatekeepers that are kind of holding the torch and saying, this is what the style looks like and this is what it is. And, you know, whereas like there's someone going, this is absolutely what long form improv is. This is what short form is, you know.
Yeah, I know.
There's a little bit more of that. Also, it's an art form that just naturally lends to a lot of experimentation, all of them. So what you have is the pure form, and then you have many iterations of it. Like Mr. Bean is a clown.
And so...
But he doesn't have the nose on.
Sure, I understand.
Right.
So Mr. Bean's a great example.
Yeah.
Maybe people know who he is.
Yes.
If you're an American, maybe you don't, but you know, then... So you're going to learn. You're going to go look him up.
Exactly.
So the difference between Mr. Bean and what he does and a buffon,
yes,
for example, would be what?
So in the very artsy-fartsy thing, you would say is the clown, Mr. Bean, he is a healed human, and he holds our humanity. And so he allows himself to be flawed, make mistakes, and we see ourselves in the clown, and we can laugh, right?
Okay.
We laugh with him.
Yeah, because he's us, and he's...
Yes.
He experiences
the
buffon, the same frustrations
is
and things
the like trickster. That. The buffon is mocking us and holding up a mirror to our behavior.
Yeah.
You know, it's always this line that you there. It's always like 10 steps ahead of you.
Yes.
So.
Are you familiar with Red Bastard?
Yes, Red Bastard is a buffon.
He's a great.
And he's the first guy that did it. Typically, it's a troupe. That's the purest form of buffon. He took it a little further and went as a solo act.
Yeah.
And so he's in the world of buffon, but he's, you know, so that's the thing, because these are old styles.
Yes.
They naturally, you have to experiment and make them relevant for today's audiences.
Right. So Red Bastard, for people that don't know.
Yes.
There is a, physically, there's a whole buffon thing.
Yes.
We don't really have to, but their bodies are generally grotesque.
Yes.
And exaggerated.
Yes.
And so it is a character, but he will come out and talk directly to the audience.
Yes. Oh, yes. Clown, all these styles are, there's no fourth wall.
Right.
There is no pretend like we're on a beach somewhere else. Right. You're on the stage. Yeah. You're in this room. We are talking.
We're right here.
The buffon, the reason why there's the mask, the physical mask of the body, is that we want to push the body away from the pedestrian sense. Even the clown, there is a mask on the body. So the clown is a territory. Like if this is neutral, the clown is away from neutral. And same with buffon. It's very far from neutral because that's the mask of that character. So we push away from those to be able to play in those territories. If I were to try to do buffon, looking, I have beautiful hair, by the way.
Beautiful
you guys
hair.
Can't
Texas
see
hair.
It. Texas hair.
Yeah.
And this like secretary blouse and high-waisted pants. I try to do buffon through this. It looks pretty. It's nice. That same mocking of the room would not hold.
Right.
Because this particular mask, it's a mask. We all wear masks. This is a mask too. And it has reactions to it. You might see me think things. Someone else might. So we want to strip those away, and so that's where the mask comes in.
Right.
And the buffon in particular, because of what it's playing, is very distorted from neutral.
Yeah.
Now, very distorted.
I heard you say something I just have never heard before, but yeah. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, that people are familiar with having masks in the face.
Yes.
And what you're now talking about is the mask of using your body, yes. pushing your body outside of whatever is an everyday.
Yeah.
That's what you mean with the pedestrian. You
yes.
push your body shape outside of an everyday
yeah.
shape, and then you get to do other things.
Yeah. yeah. From the land of comedy of physical training, like for the camera, it's all about the face. But for this work and the art, it's all about it's very much about understanding your body.
Yeah.
Like the tempo at which you move, a variety of things.
Yes.
But
tempo, gesture, body center, you
yeah.
know, all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Now, I saw also you did some work with John Gilkey.
Yes.
He's amazing.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you
worked with him?
I haven't worked with him. I saw him a bunch of years ago, the first time, do a show in San Francisco.
Yeah.
In some little, you know, under the table kind of place.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my God, what?
Did you see We Are Nudes?
Yes,
I saw
We Are Nudes. It was like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny.
That was an amazing show. And then I have kind of followed him a little bit, but I haven't ever worked with him.
Did you can it? Work with him.
He's here.
He's so here and available.
I know he is. Yeah.
Go work with him.
I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
That was a good experience for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I got to LA and I was like, oh, I need to have a community. So I got really involved in like improv and et cetera because I wanted to find a home. And I found Deanna Fleischer, and Deanna Fleischer, after working with her, she does a little bit more in the territory of Buffon. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. She was like, hey, Gilkey's here if you want to keep studying.
Yeah.
So I found John Gilkey, and it was like 100% the community and the work that I wanted to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he calls his, he is doing Buffon, or what does he say he's doing?
So,
doesn't matter, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. Gilkey is, so he called it The Idiot.
Yeah.
And there are, so from the technical space, there are things about it that are like very similar.
Sure.
Like to do clown work, you are with the room here and you can speak to your scene partner without looking to that, like looking at them. You go through the audience or some like, it's kind of like mask work,
yes.
right? I'm like, this is going to be so boring for your audience, but...
No, they don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, this is so cool. I never knew this existed.
So there are elements, like if you look at... First of all of this work is like playing a sport. And if you don't think of... For me personally, like all of this is a sport. So there are certain drills and they're the baseline for all of them. And so Idiot has that, but it really is its own little territory.
Okay.
That's the big experiment. Some people say it's a blend between Buffon and Idiot and clown.
Yeah. Well, again, the divisions don't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing some work. You have different kinds of experiences.
Yeah.
You know, we explore things. Here's my last question about this. Actually, I have two other questions. Norman Taylor did some work with him.
Yes,
I would like to do some work with that guy because the things I've read about him are amazing and people say, oh, yeah, for sure. Now, here's the question, though. I was surprised that you had on your documentation clown.
Yes.
Because in my experience, when I went to clown school,
yes.
and then I got out of clown school,
yeah.
people's minds collapsed because so many people said, oh, you're a clown now.
Yeah.
Like if you go to clown school and then you come out, somehow they think that your whole life, you've given up every part of your life and then now you're a clown. I mean,
yeah. They do.
If it was like a couple people, I wouldn't be mentioning it. But it's been dozens of people that say, so you're a clown now? Like there's any way to make a living being a clown.
Party clowns, too.
Well, but, you know, I've been working in advertising and marketing for 25 years. I've been making, like, a lot of money.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you find this, that when people hear you've gone to clown school, they don't know how to process that information?
Well, it's really funny because what I did, I went to physical theater school, which is Lecoq, right?
That's
but
right.
Everyone's like, oh, clown school. So clown is one of the territories I studied.
Right.
But I've also, a lot of my extensive like training before then, if I went and worked, like did an intensive or something, it happened to be with clown. The problem in the U.S., why clown totally derails people is because for us, the clown has his face painted and is wearing this big, like, kind of colorful costume.
Yes, we think circus clown.
Well, because that's...
That's all we know.
That's what it had to adjust to, because when the circus was coming on, they were doing these death-defying acts. You needed an act in the middle to transition, right? If you're in a giant tent, can you see the clown from 10,000 people? you need to push
right.
You need to paint the face. It's cleaner if it lives in the one territory, and we heighten that. So the circus clown was a very, like, more of a, you know, it was a theatrical need of the space,
yeah.
right? And so it pushed it into this one space. If you go see Cirque du Soleil, you obviously see a wide range of what the clown can look like.
Well,
right?
If you watch a Buster Keaton movie, or you
right,
see
exactly.
other things that a clown can
do. Yeah, so I actually, I know I have it on my website, but I think I'm going to change it to say theater clown, because I don't paint my face.
Right.
I don't, most of the time, I don't even wear a red nose.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Speaking of that, I brought you a red nose.
Oh, wow, thank you.
I know that you don't need one. Oh, by the way, this bell
uh-huh.
is just here for anything, anytime you'd like to hit the bell.
Okay.
Because you're happy, sad,
oh,
or
great.
Bored, or you want to change the subject, the bell is for you.
so
you know,
funny.
I buy like 3 dozen of those at a time and
yeah.
I hand them out and stuff. And I know you don't need a clown nose, but...
Oh, I'll keep it.
Okay.
I'll give this to someone else, actually.
Give it to somebody else, yeah. In my bag, I always have a nose and a squeaky toy. You know what I mean?
Just, yeah.
Not because I...
Why not?
Not for an emergency, but
yeah.
occasionally.
Right.
Somebody says something and you say, oh, really? And you pull out a nose and you make it squeaky. And then that's the perfect thing.
Yeah.
So it's like an emergency, like a power bar in my bag. I get a clown nose and a squeaky toy all the time. I got one more thing to say about clowns.
Yes.
You know, there's been a whole bunch of, like, scary clown stuff.
Yeah.
The movie
so
and in the past bunch of years. And
yeah.
I'm really sick and tired of people posting on my Facebook wall, like, when the creepy clown guy is hanging out
yeah.
in Portland under a streetlight, and they're like, is this you? Come on, asshole.
Yeah.
I don't live in Portland. so now what I say to people is, you know what? It makes sense to me that you're terrified of clowns.
Yeah.
You know? It
yeah.
makes sense. And people... don't expect that because
yeah.
they think that you're going to say, oh, it's fine. I say, oh, no. Clowns are horrible. You know what? They're incompetent. They are totally enthusiastic. And they're indestructible.
Yeah.
And together, that's a scary motherfucker.
Yeah, right? That's a scary combination.
Incompetent, cheerful, and indestructible. Like, you cannot keep a good clown down. That's
no.
the point.
Yeah.
You can squash them, beat them, smash them, punch them. They bounce up. They just don't stay dead.
Yeah.
And that's what makes clowns absolutely terrifying. So I get it when people say, oh, clowns, I don't know why, I'm just terrified. Yeah.
I do think everyone should get trained in that, in anything in the work that can get us to get a high sense of play.
Yeah.
And then also to really, I mean, LA is such a fucking weird town, but there's so much posturing all the time.
Yes.
That, like, it's kind of good to take a class where you are a total, like, you know, you just fail miserably.
You fail
so fucking hard
Every
in
day.
This style. Yeah.
Every day.
Well, no, even in this work. But it reminds you that the failure is in a journey of creation. Like, when I was in school, we would devise for, like, an obscene amount of hours. And we would keep, like, I'm not exaggerating, 30 seconds of it or 2 minutes of it.
Right.
And then we'd go to present it and it was all shit.
Right.
So you...
You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. So like I feel like the end game in LA is just to like be seen.
Yeah.
Which is... Yeah, of course then we're all like everyone's a little warped here. Because if your objective goal is just to be seen, then it's easy to do.
Yeah.
But B... the way to be the loudest is not necessarily anything to do with what you have to say or what you are actually giving to people. I feel like we're all just like fucking throwing pies out. Like we're just like throwing shit out.
Yeah.
And we're not really like thinking like, I'm talking to you. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the media environment, just that there's so much content of all kinds.
Yeah.
That it makes it necessary to... You know, what cuts through is things that are dumb and make noise. And
yeah.
then you may get a chance to go deeper.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think that that's...
I saw a terrible play last night.
A terrible play. You want to say anything about it?
Well, the friend who was in it was lovely. They had a very small part, so it's nothing they can do. Or,
sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you could, like, see that the director didn't do a good job, and he was trying to fuse too many styles. And, like, by the second half, it actually started to get good. So the back half of it was decent, and the front half of it was so bad. But they did this thing, which I think is happening in LA in an attempt to be like avant-garde, is they break the fourth wall, mm-hmm. and then they seal it back up. So they start off the play.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they're like talking to us. They're engaging with us. And then every time they came to the fourth wall to deliver a monologue, we're like, are we here? Like, weird thing. And I was like, this is so, like, you're not even thinking about what you've said and done up until this point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's such a basic 101, like, in previews you should have noticed. Like, oh, we should not do that.
This is not working. Somebody should tell
like,
you.
Like, honor the style. Like, yeah. Honor the reason. Honor it.
Yeah.
Don't, like, you don't need to be... So there's a little bit of that too in this
going on here.
Anyways,
people are trying stuff. Well, when you say you go into these programs and you get a play and all that, people say, "Wow, that must have been so much fun!" Like the work I've done has been Lecoq based,
yeah,
clown work. Yeah. Other things, but you know, it was for a clown. People say, "Oh my God, that sounds like that's so much fun!" And I say, "No, it's brutal. It's totally brutal for 7 hours a day, six days a week." You go in there and, you know, the job is to find the parts of you that are flawed and bad and then to exaggerate them to grotesqueness so that we laugh in your face. Mm-hmm. And that's not play for me. That's like really hard. That's ripping yourself apart and letting people laugh at you. And that's what was hard. I mean, if you can do it, you're going to be great. And there's some personal growth there for me in being willing to be seen as not perfect. And be willing to be laughed at for your personal imperfections.
Right.
Not generic like, oh, I'm going to fall down now. No, this is you. This is, you know, if you're a depressed guy, we want you to play really happy and we're not going to buy it and we're going to think that's funny because we know you're trying too hard.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's where they say like the clown is the wounded but healed adult. You know, like it is hard, but then I think you get to this level and it takes many years of you do the training and then the training is, it's brutal. And then you have to start doing the work and some point in doing the work, like I felt like for me, it was like, you know, 6 years in or something of doing the work that I realized like, none of us, it's about any of us. Right. I'm holding collective stories.
Yep.
So my pain or my wounds, it's none of it is precious. And, I think that's what also makes a really great actor is that you don't torture yourself. I mean, me personally, I don't believe in method. I think then, well, what are we rewarding anyone for? Like anybody can abuse themselves or actually put themselves, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
It's called like experiments in science. That's exactly what they do. They have a control and they have a variable. Like anybody can do that. But I think the real challenge is to actually the craft of acting.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I do lean more on physical theater. I think more on a across the pond value system in the arts.
You asked me at the beginning, have I been doing this a long time? My answer was no. I found it somewhere in my 40s and said, it's time to move to LA and do this thing that I never thought of before. But where... Our mutual friend, Juanita, where I met her in this acting class, is exactly what you're saying. It's not method in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
There's no emotional recall. There's no personal memory. There's none of that. It's all about your physical body, and that's where your focus is. And, you're going to cry, and the teacher doesn't care if you feel sad. You don't need to. Mm-hmm. If you do the technique, you don't need to feel sad to cry. You don't need to be angry to punch somebody in the face. You know, you don't even have to like them to... kiss him.
Yeah.
But everybody's done that. That's not acting.
Yeah.
You ready to change the subject? Can we do something else?
Yeah.
What you said you have to go soon. How much time we got?
5-6 minutes.
All right, we're going to get into it. I got to get this question in. Every week I have a sponsored question.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week our special question is sponsored by the Grand Central Market. Have you been there?
Oh.
In L.A., downtown
yes,
L.A.?
Yes, I have.
It's at 317 South Broadway. It's an old, like, open air.
I love it.
Market.
I love that place.
There's a place in there called Egg Slut.
Yes.
And the first 5 times I went there, the line was out
the
like
It's insane.
You would think that they were giving away money.
Yeah,
for a place called Egg Slut.
Yeah.
And I got a bad attitude. I was like, there's no way. I'm not sure I like the name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You got to go in the off hour.
The stuff they have there is amazing.
Oh,
you can get eggs with all different kinds of things. Bacon, obviously, other meats, salmon, without any meats at all for people that don't want meat. You can get it on bread, on brioche. You can even get egg things in little lettuce cups if you don't want bread. Anyway, they're sponsoring this question. Egg Slut at the Grand Central Market. I have this thing that I have been doing for like 25 years where I have given permission to friends and family to hit me in the face with a pie anytime.
Oh, wow.
It's like always open season.
Yeah.
And I just decided to do it because it's a thing you never have permission to do.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to do it. And it would make them happy to throw a pie at me. So I said, sure.
Yeah.
You throw it with love. I'll receive it with love. Let's have a great time.
Let's do it.
It's fantastic. So the question is this. If you were going to do this.
Yes.
Give permission to one person.
Yes.
Living, dead, famous, anybody you want.
Yes.
You can have throw a pie at you. Who do you think you would like to throw a pie with love at you?
Oh, God, I guess.
God?
Yeah.
Okay. First answer is usually the best. And so, what do you imagine? How would that be for you and God?
Beautiful, mm-hmm. Transcendent, mm-hmm. Epic, maybe orgasmic, who knows?
Okay, I like
God, all the feelings would come out.
And what about a
location? If someone's going to throw a pie at me, it should be God.
Okay.
Right? Why not?
All answers.
Let's go with the cleanest relationship. There's nothing messy. There's no like, well, one day, there's no like history of like, well, you remind me of so-and-so or gender dynamics. God.
We clearly have a totally different experience of God.
It's totally clean.
No, no, no. For me, that would not be clean.
See,
for you.
God, yeah. Or like the Buddha.
So,
or Buddha Nanak.
Do you know where this might happen?
I would like to be in, like, cotton candy? Like a giant, giant cotton candy cloud. Mm-hmm. But it can hold you up and you can still breathe up there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Not heaven, but you know.
A cotton candy cloud.
Yeah.
Pink cotton candy or blue cotton candy?
No, white.
White cotton candy.
Yeah, white.
Celestial white.
Yes, 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 yes.
I think that's a color.
Yeah.
I'm going to paint my house celestial.
And they don't think the pie would like stain anything or it would be hurtful. It would be delicious.
Yeah, it's not a hurtful. It's a loving pie.
And immediately upon landing, it would then also disappear and turn into 1,000 little kisses.
It's immediately upon. I thought doves.
Yes.
But like little white doves.
Exactly.
Which, yes, right?
Right?
Wow.
And God could do that.
Of course. God could.
Yeah. May there be many of gods.
Fluffy cotton candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we have avoided any kind of gender. You have avoided. I haven't said anything.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I want to ask you your, when you say God, what do you envision? But I don't know if I want to, let's skip that. Can we skip that?
Okay, sure.
Because clearly what you envision and what my experience, it wouldn't be a clean relationship moment for me.
Okay.
You know, it'd be like.
We won't go there then.
My mom. There's always some stuff.
Well, people always give us their version down as kids.
Yeah. What religion did you grow up as? Did you
refer to Sikhism? So this is where I have the Quran. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I still practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sikhs, yeah, they have good God. They don't have like a bunch of guilt and crazy stuff like
it's,
the Judeo-Christian stuff. There's
no actually, Sikhs are not guilty at all.
They're not guilty about anything. Yeah.
They
don't kill or hurt anything, so, you know.
No. Pretty. Right. Brushing
the sidewalk so you don't step on any ants. And
I think Jain is a little bit more like
Jains,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the Jains. Yeah. Sikhs do that too.
Yeah, they're definitely like Seva is one of the tenets. Yeah. We're all connected.
Yeah.
One God, this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. You're going to get hit in the face with a pie by God.
Yes, thank you.
All right, that's fantastic. I know we're running out of time. You have a somewhat quirky sleeping or bedtime ritual. What is it?
I meticulously make my list for the next day, and I look forward to my cup of coffee. Oh,
the sometime. Night before you look forward to your cup of coffee?
Oh, yeah, I love coffee.
And you think about it like,
yeah, I do kind of. I can't wait to have my coffee! I haven't had it yet. I actually made my cup, and I put it by the door, and I walked out without
it. I'm so sorry to hear that.
I know. Jeez.
Well, you're doing a great job with this interview, considering that you didn't have any coffee.
Oh, no. I don't, like, fall off if I don't have it. Okay. I just like the routine of it.
I see.
That is my nighttime. What else do I do? Nothing. I'm very mundane and pedestrian in my evening routine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not
that quirky, but.
Even if I come home, like, drunk, I will still, like, do my face routine, do my brushing of the teeth,
yeah.
Check in with what do I have to do the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty committed. That's pretty professional. Well, we're kind of running out of time. We're totally out of time. Where can we see you? This will be up in the next week or so.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You can see Indian Wedding, which is like you're attending a real Indian wedding. I co-produced that and created it with Sunanda Sachakathrul. And that is on December 14th. And this time we're doing, because we've had sold out shows and we're like standing room only, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to try this time to do two shows in a night. But it's like you're attending a real Indian wedding, and it's fucking awesome.
So I've went in New York to, or maybe Philly, to Tony and Tina's wedding, which is a couple of Goomba Italian people.
Yes.
Like my relatives.
So we say it's a blend between Tony and Tina's wedding and a variety show.
Well,
it's an Indian, South Asian variety
show. It's an Indian
show.
Thing. And then that's good. Two shows a night. I mean, the weddings themselves last days. You could just have one big thing and people come.
Well, we did the last one. Yeah. We did at an actual wedding hall, so we actually put up a little wedding.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that was a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah,
to put on a wedding. Yeah.
So so I have that one, and then
so Indian Wedding. Sorry, where is that going to be?
That's going to be at Three Clubs.
Three Clubs.
That's where our resident home is.
Yeah. I like that place.
And next year we're
have a little taco stand right outside.
Yeah, it's great.
Fantastic.
Let me see what else. Well, you can always check out anything by What the Hippo.
What the Hippo?
Yeah, that's John Gilkey's company.
Okay.
And we're always, the Merge is where I belong, and there's always stuff. Let's see. Oh, my God. I'm performing a lot, so I don't know what to plug here. But, yeah, those two are the biggest ones I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah.
We'll come see you.
Yeah.
Last thing, because I know you got to go. I like to, on the show, to do some anagrams.
Okay.
And I anagram things to see what comes out.
Okay.
And I anagrammed your name.
Okay.
And so one of the things that came out was this, Admiral A. Withal.
Oh.
And I don't know who that is, but I realized that if I said it quickly, Admiral A. Withal, it kind of sounds like Admiral Asshole, but like lisped.
Yeah.
Right?
Admiral Withal.
Awithal.
Yeah.
Awithal. Admiral Awithal.
Oh, my God. I love this.
Right? Admiral Awithal. Yeah. Kind of. If you mumble it. So this might be a creature for you. Admiral Awithal is kind of a British guy with a lisp.
Yeah.
You know, who is a jerk. Anyway, you can have that.
Oh, I can. Great.
I guess so. But
you're going to do this thing first.
Here's the other thing in anagram two. Lad Airmail Thaw. And I thought, have you ever had a long distance relationship?
Yes.
That fizzled out?
Oh, yeah. Within 90 days of moving to LA, it fizzled out.
So this is it. Lad Airmail Thaw. It's
A three-act
play about your long-distance relationship.
Look at that. Our names have all our stories.
All of our stories. And then I did Chicago Cubs. I don't know what that meant. Anyway, it was not that much interesting. Your name, it was hard to work. Sometimes you get great stuff. Sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you don't, but this is beautiful.
It's a good thing. All right, we're going to have to wrap it up because you're popular and you have to go.
I have to
go. You have an audition and people are going to love you and pay you lots of money.
Let's hope so.
I would like to thank my guest, the entertaining and only slightly combative. I wrote that last night. You weren't very combative.
I know. Did you need me to be more?
No, you didn't have coffee. No.
Oh.
No, I didn't need you to be combative.
I can punch.
Punch me after.
Okay, great.
Yeah, let's get off the air first. You can punch me later. Amrita Dhaliwal. Amrita. I'm going to get it right. Thanks for coming in this week. If you'd like to buy a Comedy Death Star hashtag coffee mug, I just sold my first five of them. You can email me at comedydeathstar@acsdigital.tv. I've not received any email at that address. I should probably check that it is actually on. Our theme music was written and performed by Dean Mermel, somebody that you may already know, and if not, you're missing out. You've been listening to Comedy Death Star, the official podcast of Actors Comedy Studio right here in Hollywood, USA. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Amrita, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Denzel. It's been a joy.
Ring the bell.